Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
It's the simplest concept in sports, but the hardest thing to do. Coaches spend sleepless nights and entire off seasons contemplating how to make it happen. It's the one absolute surefire way to win in any team sport. And Tampa did it to the Chiefs in Super Bowl 55. Make the other team play bad is what coaches preach, and boy, did the Bucs make the Chiefs play bad. You see, you don't just show up with the greatest offense anyone's ever seen and have a bad night. It doesn't work like that. And Tampa knew it. No, they had to find a way to do something nobody has ever done to Patrick Mahomes in the NFL and the Chiefs. Not just slow him down, or frustrate him, or hit him. No, the Bucs did the impossible. They kept the Chiefs out of the end zone. Unthinkable. Well, there were chances for Kansas City for sure, but most would have been circus catches or scrambling desperate throws. Nothing easy was anywhere. The Chiefs, of course, lost their cool, committed 1,000 penalties, and Andy Reid made the dumbest decision in a game I can ever remember. It was a complete team loss and a complete team win for Tampa and the greatest quarterback ever, Tom Brady. My thoughts coming right up, and Stan Weber analyzes the X and O's for us on KKHI. It's brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Customers at Roberts Robinson tell them on the dealership floor all the time, we just make it easy. That's the way it works at Roberts Robinson. Online, you can shop, click, and drive at robertsrobinson.com. I'm currently driving a Sierra Denali pickup. It is a gorgeous truck, man. It is just so spectacular. I love that multifunction tailgate you see advertised all the time. And the comfort of this truck is amazing. The seats are the most comfortable I've ever sat in. It's got a great ride, and it is sweet. You want to check out the GMC Sierra? The Denali version is spectacular. Roberts Robinson in Excelsior Springs or online at robertsrobinson.com. Elite Energy, part of Elite Automation. What they do is they have equipment and technology to hook up to your building and read where most of your energy is being spent, whether it's from the HVAC system, machinery, lighting, plug-in items. They consult with you and recommend when and how often to run the large ticket items. They don't charge anything for this service. Where Elite makes its money is they get a percentage of what you save every month. That's pretty simple. No cost to you to save money at your building. EliteAutomate.com is the website. Go. EliteAutomate.com. And Back 9 Development, Solheim at Grand Mere. Condos on Colbert Hills Golf Course are pre-ordering right now from $249,000 and up. These are upscale, beautiful condominiums with all kinds of incredible upgrades and a resort pool. And, oh man, it's really, really a nice concept they've got. These should be open in September in time for football season. If you're interested in a second home or a place for your kids to go to college and stay as an investment property, this is the way to go. TJ at the Solheim at Grand Mere is taking commitments right now. If you'd like to call him, 785-236-0161. But do yourself a favor. Go to that website, back9development.com, and check out all the great things the Back 9 does. They do custom houses. They do commercial projects as well. It's the numeral 9, back9development.com. Well, the Chiefs don't go back-to-back. They get punked by the Bucs, 31-9. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Well, when you make it to the Super Bowl, it's hard to remember that it's just a game. And it was not much of a game because the Kansas City Chiefs had almost nothing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Super Bowl 55. A very disappointing performance all the way around, offensively, defensively, in many ways, special teams, and of course, the coaching staff as Tampa runs away with this thing. 31-9 over the Kansas City Chiefs. Most pressures ever of a quarterback in Super Bowl history, and our worst fears of the entire week of the offensive line just not being up for this challenge were realized in this game. And it certainly was the case as Patrick Mahomes was running around all over the place last night, trying to create plays, trying to make things happen. But even when he broke out into space, which he's so good at doing, Tampa's zone defense was blanketing in the secondary, dropping 7 defenders many times against 4 receivers, and you simply know what the numbers game is on that. When Mahomes did buy himself some time, when he got out of the pocket, when he created some space and made some throws downfield, think of all the near misses in this game. Think of all the near misses, and I would argue that they were not really near misses because they were not open receivers. They were desperation throws. They were thrown up into the air. They were thrown into triple coverage. They were thrown into places where if Tyreek Hill jumps higher than everyone else and goes up and makes a circus catch, yes, he comes down with a touchdown. There were a couple of drops. There was one by Kelce that would have led to a first down and sustained a drive, but not really anything of any significance like that. Most of the plays that Mahomes was able to create in this game and get rid of the ball, he was either falling or being tackled or being spun and throwing it up into the air, and they were unbelievably great throws. There was always a Chiefs receiver there, and they could technically somehow have been completed, but they were desperation-type passes, and this is one of those games where you simply have to tip your cap to the opponent and say they beat you. They were better than you. Mahomes finished 26 out of 49 with 270 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Tom Brady, a near flawless night, not a spectacular night, but almost flawless. He had the one interception that was taken off the board by the penalty away from the play. It had nothing to do with the play whatsoever. Brady, 21 of 29, 201 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions. And in just a few minutes, Stan Weber will be joining us, and we'll get his thoughts on the game. If there was an inflection point, if there was a turning point in this Super Bowl that you could point to and say, this was it. This is where, if the Chiefs were going to win, and I say it's a big if, because I, you know, look, I've seen the Chiefs do some remarkable things with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback, and I will give you right now a formula that may have worked, that certainly would have been different, because I think what ultimately happened was the Chiefs unraveled in this game. They lost their cool. They committed all these penalties, 11 penalties for 120 yards. One of the penalties was a 40-yard penalty. That was on the punt where Thompson hit the good punt, and they came back from the holding call, which probably was a necessary holding call because Thompson had fumbled the snap, and the hold took place, maybe keeping Tampa from getting the ball or forcing a turnover right there. So maybe it was a decent enough penalty, but it turns out to be a 40-yard penalty as they re-kick and he shanks it off the side of his foot. Look, nothing really went right for the Chiefs all night long, and most of that was because Tampa did the hardest thing in sports. The hardest thing in sports is to make your opponent play poorly. And coaches like to describe it, as we've said, in a different way. Make the other guy play bad. And the Chiefs did that, or the Bucs did that to the Chiefs last night in Super Bowl 55, forcing two turnovers versus none. They took away everything deep. They took away everything on the sidelines. They played a zone. If Patrick Mahomes has a weakness in his game, his weakness is, and it has been from day one, we saw this very early on when he took over as a starter. We saw it in training camp. If he has a weakness, he is totally the opposite of Tom Brady. He is not the classic stand in the pocket, tall quarterback, use the middle of the field guy. He is not that guy. When he throws to the middle of the field, a lot of times it's sidearm, you know, around a defender or something. You know, he had one beautiful pass to Hill last night on a little crossing route where he threw it sidearm and Hill got a first down on the play. Just I commented to my friends, I said, that's a ridiculously hard throw. A guy like Brady goes straight over the top with that and tries to throw it over the defensive lineman coming in. But Mahomes kind of has to throw sideways. If he has a weakness, it's the middle of the field. And Brady had three or four passes last night where you saw him throw it to Gronk or receiver in the middle of the field, 15, 20 yards down the field. It's not always a weakness for Mahomes, but it is something that you can reliably give to him, and he can't exploit that. And he said after the game, he basically gives it away. He says, look, the zone took away the deep balls, and they took away my sidelines. And if they take away the sideline and the deep ball, the Chiefs have to figure something else out. I don't think Andy Reid ran the ball enough. We saw him come out at the beginning of the second half and run the ball effectively and go down into field goal territory and then sputter by throwing incomplete passes and got the field goal. But if there was an inflection point, if there was one thing in this game, and this is very important because there's a lot of facets to being a head coach in the NFL, and Andy Reid is a Hall of Famer. This was not his best night. He is not a good game planner. All right, he's a great play designer, and he's a good in-game coach, and the Chiefs have won a lot of games where in the postseason they show up, and the other team is – basically it's the rule. The only game I can remember the last 3 years where the Chiefs were the better prepared game plan team going into the game was Cleveland this year. I thought the Chiefs came out in the Cleveland game, had everything just right, they looked great, and then, of course, Mahomes got hurt, and they had to hang on to win it. But you know, even the Buffalo game, they were down 9-0. And yes, Mecole Hardman fumbled a punt, and that led to a 9-0 deficit. But it was a 9-0 deficit. The Chiefs in the postseason have not had good game plans, and they have not showed up ready to play and come out and been that team. I thought they had turned the corner. Even though they were down 9-0 to Buffalo in the AFC Championship game, I thought this postseason was different. I thought they're showing me something that I haven't seen in the postseason, and they're playing better than they did in the regular season. And that all went down the drain in this game last night. They got a good stop. They got the ball. They went down and sputtered and got 3 points, not a touchdown. That's big, but that's not bad. That's a good start. I think Jim Nantz said at that point it was the 62nd consecutive game the Chiefs have had a lead. That is remarkable. I mean, that is an unbelievable statistic for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so there they were, and things were okay. And then Brady, as he does, feels his way around the game. After a couple of drives where they get nothing, he just starts to feel it out and light it up. Dinky here, donkey there, 12 yards, this, there, and they weren't really classic Tom Brady downfield. But the game is nowhere even close, not even close to out of reach. Chiefs go down with a minute left, kick a field goal. It's 14-6. It's the Kansas City Chiefs getting the ball to start the second half. It's 14-6. And what does Andy Reid do with 44 seconds left? Clock running. It's 3rd and 2 for Tampa. They're in no hurry. They're clearly just going to run the ball, see what happens here, and move on. He had previously called a timeout after first down. He calls the timeout after second down with 44 seconds left and pokes Tom Brady with a stick. Changes everything. They go to the sideline. Brady, Aarons, the coaching staff, they regroup and they go, we got a manageable 3rd and 2 here. Let's get the first down and then let's go downfield. And you could feel it. You knew they were going to get the first down the second he called the timeout. And you knew the second they got the first down, he was going to go downfield. I thought he was going to score a touchdown, but certainly 17-6 is different than 14-6. Just giving up 3 right there is bad. Andy Reid's hubris with that call, calling timeout with 44 seconds left, after watching his team sputter much of the half, thinking they will punt it away to us and we can go down and score. Typically, I'd be okay with something like that. But there's been 100 games where Andy Reid, meaningless games in the regular season, not meaningless, but certainly not the Super Bowl. There have been plenty of games in the regular season where he would not have done that. I thought some sort of desperation. To me, it was Andy Reid telling his team, we don't have this tonight. They're better than us. This is the kind of stuff we've watched. I always use KU basketball as the example. This is the stuff we watch other teams try to do when they play KU in basketball. It's always desperation. You know, a team that typically shoots 15 three-pointers in a game shoots 23 or 24 of them, thinking this is the night we got to be hot. And we got to try to make a whole bunch of these and hang with Kansas. We got to try to do this. We know they're better than us. To me, it was a signal to his team, they're better than us, and we have to try to sneak our way around this corner and slither this way and try to figure this thing out. And all he did was poke Tom Brady with a stick. And I'm not saying the Chiefs would have won, but they might have. I would have given him a 50-50 shot. Honestly, if it's 14-6 and the Chiefs came out at the start of the second half, ran the ball well, went down, sputtered, got 3 more, if the clock just runs out, and the game with 12 minutes left in the third period is 14-9, which is what it would have been. And the Chiefs kicking off to Tampa. It's 14-9. Where's every head of every player on the Chiefs? What are they thinking? What is in their mind at this point? We got this. We are one Patrick Mahomes play away from taking the lead. Every defensive player, everyone, they would have rallied up, and here we go. But no. They couldn't get there. They didn't get there. It was 21-6 at the half. They give up the touchdown. Then they come out and only get a field goal, which is a drastic difference. Crazy difference. When it's 21-6 and you come out and you move the ball like they did and you settle for the field goal, now where's all the momentum shift? It's back over with Tampa. 21-9, no damage done. If you score a touchdown there and you go for 2 and you get the conversion, it's 21-14, and now we've got a football game, and everybody on the Chiefs would know it. There was never a moment after Andy made that decision. There was never a moment where Andy could get his team back, where they could rally themselves and say, we got this. There was never a moment. I mean, they knew it was possible. It was 21-9. That's not an impossible mountain. But they never scored again. The offense sputtered. It just wasn't right. The offensive line got mauled all night long. Devin White, the linebacker, had 12 tackles in this game. He said after the game, quote, we knew they aren't physical enough, unquote. That's exactly right. And Tampa Bay's defense just handled Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes in the postseason on their way to winning the Super Bowl, becoming the fifth wildcard team since 2000 to win the Super Bowl. There have only been five wildcard teams in the Super Bowl since 2000. All five won. There's something about the momentum. There's something about Tom Brady. There was something about this game that never looked and felt right with the Kansas City Chiefs. But I will not discount the possibility that if Andy Reid had not called those timeouts, I did not like. I'm aggressive, man. I'm aggressive. But this was the game where you go to the locker room. It's a long halftime. You regroup. You get the ball. You come out. It's 14-6. If we get a touchdown, we can go for two and tie this thing. All right? Even if you settle for a field goal, which the Chiefs would have done, it's 14-9, and it's a ball game. And every player on both teams knows this game has not been decided. This game is close. This game is one snap away from turning. It's one Tyrann Mathieu interception. It's one Tom Brady fumble in the pocket. It's one Mahomes flip to Tyreek Hill. It's one play. It is a one-play game. And the Chiefs are the best in the business at a one-play game. All year long, when it was a one-play game, the Chiefs won. They made plays. They found a way to make a play. And unfortunately, what happened with this event, with what was going on in the game, is the Chiefs flat lost their cool. Tyrann Mathieu winds up in makes a Twitter comment after the game late last night that he has now removed, where he said Brady, I can read it to you exactly. He basically said he called out Tom Brady for saying something to him on the field. Tyrann Mathieu tweets, he called me something I won't repeat, but yeah, I'll let the media throw me under the bus as if I did something or said something to him. Go back to my previous games against TB12. I showed him nothing but respect. Look at my interviews about him. I show grace. So this will be a developing story, I think. Look, if you can't tweet what it was that he said to say it's something I won't repeat, I don't know what he said. I don't know what Tom Brady said. This was a different Tom Brady. He was chippy. He was chirpy. Look, this is part of their game plan. They know what the Chiefs are. We've talked about this all year. The Chiefs are, we see them every week, okay? And if they keep this up, they're just going to be in Super Bowl, a lot of Super Bowls. They'll become the team nobody else likes. If you're a fan of any other team or just a football fan, the Chiefs will become the team nobody else likes. They're cocky, they're arrogant, they're pompous. They, you know, and Tampa was shoving that back at the Chiefs last night. We saw the unsportsmanlike for taunting Tyreek Hill after a play with the peace sign in his face, the two. We saw Tom Brady going after Tyrann Mathieu. Did Brady start it? Maybe. We know Mathieu does nothing but chirp on the field. So Mathieu was pulling up into kind of the linebacker area on a lot of snaps. He was stepping up. He was probably taunting Brady at the line of scrimmage a lot. And it's part of Tyrann Mathieu's game, and Brady gave it back. And while we haven't seen that very often, Brady clearly has it in him. They frustrated the Chiefs. They made a lot of the players angry and disappointed and mad and chippy and chirpy, and it played right into Tampa's hands. They played a fantastic, fantastic football game. Just terrific. And I know that doesn't make it any better, but to sit and look at the Chiefs and just say the Chiefs played crappy without understanding why that happened when we've never seen this before. This has never happened. I mean, with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, 3 years basically, right? These three great years, AFC championship game, Super Bowl win, Super Bowl loss, three great years and all the winning, we've never seen that. That is a huge sample size to never see that. And the Chiefs lose 31-9 and unthinkably do not get into the end zone in this Super Bowl. Very disappointing, but it was easy as it unfolded to see how it just kind of snowballed on the Chiefs. You could see the mounting frustration, the stupid play, really 11 penalties for 120 yards, and it was more than that. The hidden yards in this game was ridiculous. The hidden yards were off the charts in this game. The Chiefs outstatted Tampa, 350 total yards to 340 total yards. The stats were amazingly close across the board. Stats are for losers. We talk about this all the time. But Kelce and Hill had over 200 yards combined in the game. Chiefs couldn't get in the end zone. They didn't score. I mean, what else you got to know? So, yes, the stats were amazingly close, and the Chiefs wound up with more offensive yards than Tampa, but that's not how you win games. We've seen this for years. You know, people thought I was picking on Phillip Rivers. We would always look at Phillip Rivers, and the Chiefs would win the game, Phillip Rivers would lose, and we'd look at Rivers' stats, and I'd say, there he is. He's on the way to the Hall of Fame. You know, they're talking about Phillip Rivers, Hall of Fame, because of all of his statistics. The guy didn't win games. And, you know, Travis Kelce had 133 yards last night. Would you say he had a good game? It's pretty hard to think like that. I'm not calling him out. I'm not saying Kelce was any kind of a problem last night or played poorly. But if you asked, did Kelce play a great game last night? You probably wouldn't answer right away, yes. But he did have a buck 33, and a lot of it was just garbage when the game was over. We saw the Chiefs rack up stats late when the game was 31-9, even though they didn't get into the end zone. So tip your cap to the other guys. Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator. Yeah, I had a buddy say, man, if you want to, and he's been a head coach, Todd Bowles has. If you want to jump up and down and scream about black head coaches not getting hired, how is Todd Bowles not getting hired? What a masterful defensive postseason for Tampa Bay and their defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles. Again, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, win, 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 and Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the champs of the National Football League. There is so much more to talk about as we go forward in the coming days and weeks around this football team, changes for next year, the future with the coaching staff, with Andy Reid, where his head is right now. And, of course, we will not be ignoring the off-the-field tragedy that has taken place with the young girl that is in the hospital as a result of the accident that it appears Britt Reid caused while he was impaired. The Chiefs assistant coach will be addressing that more later as the week goes on. There's a GoFundMe page and some I didn't have the heart to retweet it. I didn't. I've seen the picture of her now on Twitter in her hospital bed. She is not awake. So she's unconscious or in a coma. She has tubes on her. It is just a very disturbing picture. But the GoFundMe page as of last night was close to $300,000 for that young girl. There will be no, a lot of people are saying, why aren't the Chiefs doing something? There will be no issue with money, with this family, with anything that happens, with medical bills, with anything. There will be no issue. The Chiefs can't do anything right now because it would appear to be some sort of an admission of guilt in a court of law. You can't, all right? They don't have to pay those hospital bills now. The hospital's doing the work. Their hospitals are going to get paid. There's money will not be a thing here, okay? So the GoFundMe is up and running, and it's heartening to see so many people in the community rally behind her, but we'll be addressing that more as the week goes on. Stan Weber joins us in just a minute, presented by Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Valentine's Day right around the corner, guys. Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. That first appointment's free at Fry Ortho. Invisalign's the official provider of the National Football League, and there is no better place than Fry Orthodontics to get a consultation about Invisalign products for you to get that smile you've been wanting for years. It's at Fry Orthodontics online at fryorthodontics.com. Your smile is just the start. And bstock.net, a new way to buy electronics in Kansas City. The outlet store at 14680 South Flaming Road. Probably going to move off talking about televisions here with bstock.net because the big game is over. Man, if you need computer products, they've got them all right there. Dell, HP, Lenovo, and even Apple. It's all available at up to 30% less than you'd pay anywhere else. The Bstock outlet store in Olathe, Kansas. 14680 South Flaming Road. All right, Stan Weber joins us now to get his thoughts on Super Bowl 55, a rough night for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Stan, you and I love the Super Bowl. It's a little melancholy because it's the last game, but we've been on a pretty good run, treated to some pretty good games. I didn't see something this one-sided coming. Were you surprised? Well, no, you were. How surprised were you that it was this dominant?
Oh, very surprised because the Chiefs are a very good football team. Patrick Mahomes knows how to play under pressure. Andy Reid is the second best coach in the NFL. And the Chiefs defense had heightened their play. I had never been one to stand on the soapbox and say the Chiefs play good defense until the last week and a half, Kevin. I finally thought that their secondary had picked up their play. And you could actually say because the other teams in the NFL don't play great defense, that they're one of the better defenses in the league. So there are just so many things on the side of the Chiefs being able to be competitive in the game. Did I think it would be close? Yes, I did, because I have a respect level for Tampa's team. And I think around here in our area, we're so focused in on the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl last year and being a better team this year and the magic that Patrick Mahomes has that you think you're going to win the game. But I thought it was going to be competitive. And when you're going against Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, you better be prepared. And he had weapons. I thought Antonio Brown coming back was a big key going into the game. Would he be available? He's a superstar, a killer type of player out there. Those things could all make Tampa Bay's chances rise up in the game. But never thought that they would separate. I just thought we'd have a very close game right to the end, and likely the Chiefs would find a way to win in that situation, but absolutely respected that Tom Brady might be able to get it done as well. Not a separation like we saw, not with Tampa Bay kind of easing their way into the final celebration, knowing that they had the game the whole fourth quarter.
Devin White, the linebacker for Tampa after the game, said last night, quote, "We knew they aren't physical enough." And this was old smash mouth type stuff by Tampa. They dominated the line of scrimmage. The Chiefs line got mauled. Mahomes was running around all night. But even when he bought himself some time, and there were plenty of passes where he had enough time or got himself out into space, blanket coverage downfield. When he would heave it down there, you know, Tyreek Hill would be there, but there was always two and sometimes three guys around him. Is there a reason why, Stan, you know football better than anybody I know, is there a reason why Tampa was so effective in pulling this off when other teams have tried it and yet, you know, Hill or Kelce or whatever have gotten free and made big plays? Why were it, I mean, it always looked like a Hail Mary throw. Every time he threw downfield, hey, there's Tyreek Hill. Yeah, but he's surrounded by three guys. It looked like it was like 15 players against six. How was Tampa able to do that?
Well, first of all, they obviously by formation thought that he gave enough pressure on Patrick Mahomes that he wouldn't have an easy chance to throw the second throw. Todd Bowles did a good job of changing things up, hardly blitzing. This is a team that loves to play man-to-man, loves to bring pressure. They changed their stripes, which I didn't necessarily think that they would do, Kevin. I thought they would dabble back and forth between the defense the Chargers put in play. You know, you see the Chargers put a big umbrella back and then rush four, and that's worked pretty well against the Chiefs in the divisional games. Sure, Tampa would love to do that, but they also like to blitz, and I thought that they would still be true to themselves, find their spots. But basically what they did is said, let's disguise our coverage, not give him an easy first throw, fine. And then they said, the second throw is not going to be easy because we can put pressure on them. So that's a big part of the story. Obviously, the defensive line being able to put pressure and then suddenly putting Mahomes on the run very early, so he's not in the pocket as long. Now, he always can move and find ways to make plays, but he left a little bit earlier from the pocket. And then when the scramble situations came on, I think that you got to give Tampa a lot of credit for some of the things that they do. Antonio Winfield is a rookie guy who really has come along as a safety. Jordan Whitehead has done a good job back there. And I think the linebackers are way underrated. I've always loved Lavonte David, even when he was a Nebraska football player, and then Devin White. Kevin, those guys are doing a good job of running underneath the coverage. They weren't just out there because they're physical bodies. They really have athletic ability and the smarts to squeeze the plays. And when you get underside squeezing, when the quarterback lofts it up, it's easier for the guys who are behind to read the ball, come up, and squeeze the play. So just great underneath coverage by the linebackers, a good plan, and then they started so far back. I mean, their free safety started, what, 25 yards back and said, I'm not going to be beaten over the top. And that just stressed the Chiefs in the ball game. So, you know, I think that it was a good plan. The pass rush obviously was a factor. And then the Chiefs just didn't have a little bit of the magic. Just think, Kevin, how the game would have been different if Tyreek Hill would have yanked that ball down when he went up at the goal line on that scramble play. I mean, how often have you seen him just pluck that ball out of the air and the Chiefs are dancing in the end zone? All it took was a little bit of magic like that, and things could have turned on a dime. But Tampa continued to get more and more confidence as the game went along that this is going to work, and it made them even better. When you play zone defense, when it works, you really start gaining confidence. If you get cut up a little bit, then you're going like, Coach, can we just play a man-to-man because they're open all the time? Think about Travis Kelce's drop on third down on both the second possession of the game, Kevin. I mean, if he makes that catch, do the Chiefs motor down the field and get a touchdown like they normally do? I mean, you got plays where Hill had the ball in his hands, Kelce had the ball in his hands. they don't pull it in early, and it just continues to add more stress to the whole situation.
Well, we know what confidence and momentum are in sports, and certainly football is no different. In any team game, this is it's just such a big part of a game. And this is the only game I can remember seeing Andy Reid coach here where there was no confidence or momentum for the Chiefs, and I thought he was a big part of this. I think the worst game I ever saw him coach was the playoff game against the Colts in Indy where the Chiefs had the 28-point lead or whatever it was and lost it. But this was right up there. This was not Andy Reid's finest moment. You mentioned this was that he's the second best coach in the league. His decision with 44 seconds in the half last night in a 14-6 ball game where he's getting the ball back in 44 seconds after halftime, where you have a long halftime. You can go in, you can do some real coaching halftime at the Super Bowl. It's 3rd and 2, and he called consecutive timeouts there on 2nd and 10 and then 3rd and 2 with 44 seconds left. I thought he poked Tom Brady with a stick. I thought the first down would be easy for them to get. And then I thought, if they get this first down, they're going to go for it and try to score points. This could be a disaster. And, of course, it was. It winds up 21-9 instead of what could have been if it's 14-6, Dan. Chiefs come out if they do just the same thing. They ran the ball well. They went down and got a field goal. If that game with 12 minutes to go in the third quarter was 14-9, it would have been the first time all night maybe that momentum shifts. And now Tampa's like, crap, we've had this really great half, all right? And we're only 5 points ahead of these guys. It would have changed everything. What was Andy Reid thinking?
I don't know. I think that should be a bold letter thing. It's so easy for the pundits and people evaluating like us, Kevin, to jump on to, oh, the Chiefs' offensive line since they lost Eric Fisher was the total end of the ball game. Well, Tampa's pass rush is good. They're good players. It didn't help that Eric Fisher was gone, all those things. But there are so many other aspects, and one of the headlines for me is where you went. You explained it well. They are able to make adjustments. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are able to make adjustments on the fly as well as anybody in the NFL other than Tom Brady and Byron Leftwich, okay? They're going to use that halftime period to make adjustments. Like they probably have video that they could watch a number of plays and video in the locker room, Kevin, and figure out exactly how they're going to attack. It made all the difference in the world. I would even propose to you, if we had gone to half 14-6, Chiefs getting the ball, there's a decent chance the Chiefs score a touchdown and maybe get two, and it's 14-14. Because when it's right there in your grasp and you're the Chiefs, it's easier to go get than when you got to score twice just to get ahead again. So the psychology of everything changed when they did this. It was a giant mistake, and I was calling it out at that time. Not after the game, at that time. Right. First down run, no gain. And I go, wow, the Chiefs just called timeout.
Did you think Tampa called? Because I thought Tampa called the timeout there, and then they said, oh, Andy Reid called timeout. I go, what? I thought Tampa used a timeout right there.
Yeah, no, I did not think that, and I thought CBS was doing an awful job. I mean, it's Tony Romo who finally, as the ball is being snapped on the second down play, that said, oh, by the way, the Chiefs had a timeout.
Right.
They need to tell us. This is critical information of why did the clock stop? And I go, well, someone called timeout. And I go, wow, Andy is going to be aggressive here. After a zero-yard run, you know, okay, I'll give you a little room to say, why wouldn't the Chiefs say, you're going to try to stall this out. We're going to stuff you. We're going to gain the momentum. We're going to score a field goal before the half. Then we're going to come out and score, and we're going to have the lead. And you just shouldn't shake your head. And there was one time where I said, you know, the Chiefs are going to be in the lead before Tampa gets the ball back. I really thought that until the Chiefs, when they scored only a field goal and not a touchdown, and then Tampa got the ball back to get there. So here's Tampa with the ball. On the first down, you call a timeout. I'll give you a little room, okay? But the second one was a disaster. No chance did it make any sense. Now it's 3rd and 2. It's the NFL, Kevin. It's like arena football. These teams are likely to get into field goal range.
Yeah.
Super likely. And you got Tom Brady and you just poked him and said, well, you guys have been thinking about stalling it out and going to the half, but have you ever thought about scoring? And you got Bruce Arians, who, what has his whole attitude been, Kevin? What has his whole coaching attitude been with Tampa Bay this year? Just go for it. Let it fly. We don't care about mistakes. We don't care about negative stuff. Let's go get it. Well, now you've allowed them to have that chance to do it. And it changed the whole momentum of the game. Not only did they get a field goal, then they turned it into a touchdown, and they really separate. I just go back to this. Go back and watch the tape of last year's game, Kevin, the Super Bowl. Who was the better team in the first half, the Niners or the Chiefs?
The Niners.
The Niners were the better team. The Chiefs did not gain control of that game and lay it down like Kansas City has an ability to do until the fourth quarter. So, you know, dabbling around in a game that's fairly tied and things aren't going your way perfectly, why would you be nervous about that? You can say, oh, man, Tampa Bay's dominated. Look at that defensive line. It's all about the physicality of the guys up front. That's what everyone wants to talk about. And I know you and I, Kevin, are going to be in the criticized position here because we don't care as much about the offensive line. But still, you're down 14-6. You go in at half and you get the ball back. You're fine.
You're fine.
Once you grab the game's going to have an ebb and flow, in my opinion. Once the Chiefs grab the game, their momentum runs are better than Tampa Bay's, right? I mean, I think Tom Brady's unbelievable, but he cannot put a momentum run together like Patrick Mahomes can. They go down and kick that field goal, and somehow Tampa goes 3-and-out, and the Chiefs get the ball down 14-9, or even if it's in the fourth quarter and the Chiefs are down by 6. At some point, when they get into their rhythm and they go, here we go, the Chiefs can just dominate the game. You've got to wait for your time to have that. And it was all taken away because of dumb timeouts, especially the second timeout was unexcusable.
Well, I wonder if, and I don't think I'm nitpicking here because we've watched Andy Reid coach here for a long time now. I thought the Cleveland game in the postseason this year was maybe his finest moment in the postseason, in that that's the only postseason game I can remember where he developed a game plan, the team showed up, played harder than its opponent, looked sharper, and was more ready to play. Every single postseason game, the Buffalo game, the Chiefs played great, but they were down 9-0 out of the gate. They were down 9-0 in that game. I'm tired of this. And I know he's a great coach and he's a great play designer. I don't know why this football team, when they're in the postseason, has such a hard time putting together a game plan and showing up and starting a game wanting it more than their opponent. Because clearly, Tampa wanted something worse last night than the Chiefs, and we saw that. And the game plan by the Chiefs wasn't all that great, and there wasn't much of an adjustment. And listen, maybe they're just not the better team. I don't know. But it seems like this happens a lot in the postseason, that the game plan isn't right and the team isn't as ready or fired up as the other team. Do you notice that with Andy Reid's teams too?
Well, it's a fact of the scores. Okay, last year we bragged about how they were down in each of the three playoff games and they came back and won. And they won by double digits. I mean, so it's hard to get caught up into what happened at the beginning of the game. But it's okay for you, Kevin, to point out a trend of early games, because other than the Cleveland game in their 2-year run to the Super Bowl, they've been behind and behind early in the ball game. So, you know, I can't tell you why it happens. And I love the composure of saying we're going to be fine. Remember Mecole Hardman with his, coat over his head trying to hide and just saying, I can't believe I blew it. And Patrick Mahomes saying, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Everyone picking each other up, even in the 49er game last year, the Super Bowl. Those are all great team components, coaching, leadership by Patrick Mahomes, Tyrann Mathieu, and everyone else. But you just state something that's a fact, Kevin. Other than the Cleveland game, they were behind in all those games fairly early. You know, what the heck? So I don't know. It's not something that I have a big opinion about at all. So I don't know, but it's worth noting that if you say, I'm tired of this, why don't you just go out and establish the lead 7-0 for a while, 10-3, and just keep being the better team all game long. I'm totally comfortable with that. Rather than, hey, let's wait for magic. Let's wait for Tyreek Hill to make an unbelievable catch. Let's don't wait for Patrick Mahomes to be parallel to the ground throwing an accurate pass in the Super Bowl. The passes he made at times were incredible. So I have no problem with running down that path. But I do think another trend that was interesting to note and was a factor in this game was the Chiefs' attitude, especially on the defensive side, Kevin, of almost being over the edge. Was that just they're fired up, or there's almost a Raiders mentality that got into them against Buffalo and they punked Buffalo? Even when they're behind 9-0, Chris Jones should have been kicked out of the game for swinging and hitting a Buffalo Bill in the helmet. That's a kick out of the game play, right? In this game, he gets a retaliation push, the same kind of stuff. The officials weren't going to miss it this time. I mean, after he did it last week, they're not going to miss it this time. And I've never seen Tyrann Mathieu kind of lose his head. I've been the biggest fan of Tyrann Mathieu and what he does is the glue, the wild card that makes Steve Spagnuolo's defense great. And this game, he totally got dominated. Other than the unbelievable great catch on the interception, that's the kind of Tyrann Mathieu play you'd expect. Other than that, he was on edge, kind of losing control mentally, raising his hands up at others on the defense, like, what the heck's going on? Showing emotion that wasn't like, come on, guys, let's do better. Just was over the edge. You know, overly emotional football led to a lot of those penalties and not keeping their composure. And really, it's the second game in a row that the defense had that mentality. And I said with your show last week, Kevin, Charmin soft is Buffalo. They folded underneath that. I mean, when they got punched in the mouth, it's like, oh, my gosh, what's going on here? And the Chiefs, I'll say it, punked them. They punked them old school. But you're not going to do that against Tampa Bay. And that was a big story going into the game. I think that Tom Brady, Gronk, Antonio Brown, Pierre Paul, these guys, and Ndamukong Suh, this wasn't too big for them to say, bring it on, Chiefs. Bring it on all game. We're going to be here for all 60 minutes. And that's what I expected was a tight game with neither team backing down. But the Chiefs, you know, bad decisions near halftime, overly emotional, penalties and things like that. The punter totally losing his head. You know, no one wants to talk about the bad part of that sequence in the game because they only want to talk about is the officials or the offensive line. This goes, there's a million stories here of why the Chiefs weren't the better team and didn't win the ball game. But, you know, these all come together and it wasn't the Chiefs' day. But for them to lose their composure on the defensive side and for them to take away the chance to win the game right before the half, I think is the biggest story because Chiefs go 14-6 with the football. I still think they're the favorite to win the game. Let's stop the game right there, Kevin. 14-6, let's go. And if they wouldn't have lined up offsides, it might have been 10-6 on that field goal. So let's just play from 14-6, let Andy Reid go in and talk about what they're going to do, come out and play it. Can the Chiefs outscore Tampa Bay by 6 points in the second half, even with this offensive line? I think absolutely.
Well,
absolutely. They have a big chance. They took it away.
And I was thinking 14-6. Your halftime message to your offense, and you know the way players are, Stan, and they would love this. I'd tell them right before we're going back out on the field, I'd say, boys, we're going down, we're scoring a touchdown, and get ready. We're going for two. We're going to tie this son of a whatever up. And there would be a fire in their eyes that, yes, we're going to go tie this game right here. We're going for eight right now. Let's go get it, guys. We're going for broke. Let's do it. And I think you come out fired up with an intensity and some momentum, maybe some confidence you can instill during the halftime. Man, that decision before the half was just an absolute killer in this game. Again, maybe it was 50-50. I think you're probably right. The Chiefs, it would have been interesting to see what the Vegas line would have been at that point for the second half, whether Vegas thought the Chiefs would win the game or not. But it would have been an entirely different scenario. And we know this about the Chiefs, Dan, because we've seen it over and over. It only takes one play. If they come out and make one play, if Tyreek Hill breaks free on one play and the Chiefs get a touchdown, it changes everything with the Tampa defense. They lose some of their swagger. The Chiefs get some confidence. They say, we're going right back out here after we get a stop, and we're going to do it again. That's what sports is. And they never got to that point that was just such a killer before the half.
Because they gave Tampa Bay working room. You go over to the sideline, and Tom Brady deserves so much credit because he's a killer. And Tampa without Tom Brady would have been, what, Kevin, 8-8 football team?
Yeah.
I mean, he helped everybody around there. But you saw him on the sideline. He totally, in my opinion, sat there and said, Mahomes is going to bring him back. It's like a basketball. He will put a 12-0 run together. You know, everyone acts like it's all about – after the game's over, everyone's acting like, oh, this is old-school football. The physicality of those offensive lines. That's that. You know, they just won the battle in the trenches. Game over. Don't talk to me about anything else. I think Tom Brady sat over there and said, boy, when the Chiefs make that run, it is going to be an onslaught. And we're going to have to continue to score to win this game. The game's going to be on my shoulders. Forget looking up and us leading like we are. But when they gave them working room, when you go into the half and they got a touchdown over and above a field goal, now you're like, hey, even if Patrick Mahomes plays really, really well, I kind of got two must possession opportunities. That's, you know, do I have to try to stop the momentum by driving down the field and scoring a touchdown? No. I can do it in one of the next two drives. I can get a field goal, and that'll be enough. You know, I think he was sitting there expecting the onslaught of the Chiefs offense at some point, and it was really taken away with the timeout and then Tampa Bay going down and scoring. And scoring seven especially really just put a separation in the game and put a ton of pressure on the Chiefs. When the Chiefs came out, for instance, they never dabbled in the running game. Remember when Buffalo early in the year played them and the Chiefs were on the road and they said, oh, you're going to not blitz. You're going to have everybody drop back and run with Tyreek Hill. We're going to run the ball against you. Well, the Chiefs did that. They finally switched into a different mode. But, Kevin, they weren't down by eight when they switched into that mode. Can you imagine the Chiefs opening the third quarter actually running the ball as well against this defense and saying, you've overcommitted to the passing game and we're only one score behind you? How long would Todd Bowles be able to sit and play that defense?
Right. He would have, yes, exactly right. And you know what?
It changes the whole dynamic.
And the crazy part was the way it was, they ran the ball beautifully, then they got down to like the 30-yard line and quit. They quit running on that drive and threw incomplete passes and kicked a field goal. It was a strange game. It was really an odd look for the Chiefs. It was an odd, strange look that they never made a play. They didn't get in the end zone. You know, stats are for losers. We always talk about this, Dan. We've talked through the years, you know, about Phillip Rivers and other quarterbacks that rack up big numbers. The Chiefs actually had more yards in this game than Tampa. Hill and Kelce had over 200 yards combined. I mean, I could throw a whole bunch of numbers at you and say, oh, the final score was 31-9. Kelce and Hill had over 200 yards receiving. You know, Mahomes threw for more 70 more yards than Tom Brady. You know, I could throw all these numbers at you and you'd say, oh, the Chiefs won 31-9. But they didn't, because they didn't do anything else right. They didn't do any of the little things, the hidden things in a football game right. They did none of them right. The penalties were killer. The decisions they made in-game were killer. They turned the ball over twice. Everything non-statistic that people don't even pay attention to, the Chiefs were horrendous at last night.
And the other thing I want to point out, Kevin, it sounds like a broken record, but for the first time, I think maybe it will resonate, because now we've played two seasons, and the Chiefs were unbelievable, and they won the Super Bowl last year. They were a better team this year. They were the favorites. They should have won the Super Bowl if we'd have played a best-of-seven series. I think the Chiefs would have won. It might have been a 4-3, because I do believe in Tampa Bay. I do believe in their stars. I do believe in Tom Brady. I thought it was a worthy opponent. I've been saying to you for a while out of the NFC, they are a legitimate Super Bowl team. But I think it is worth pointing out the composure which they used, and it was absolutely no surprise, because Tom Brady was convicted and Tampa Bay is convicted. They're not a great running team. Tampa Bay's not a great running team. They're very inconsistent. But, Kevin, they invest in the running game. They invest, even if they don't gain yardage. Go back to the Green Bay game. First two plays of the game, they gain a total of 3 yards. What does Tom Brady do on 3rd and 7? Bails them out. They go back to the running game again. Why is that important? And how great is Tom Brady to bail them out and the weapons they have with the Mike Evans of the world, Gronkowski, and even Miller and the tight end, the backup tight end's good. You know, they are willing to put pressure on their passing game and Tom Brady on 3rd and long. But by investing in the running game is how you have a chance to win against the Chiefs, Kevin. It is the way. Go back to the Cleveland game. If Cleveland wouldn't have lost their head with a young coach early in the game and stuck with the strategy that they implemented in the second half, Kevin, when they started running the ball, Cleveland might have beaten the Chiefs in that first playoff game. Okay, Cleveland let them off the hook with bad game management. Think about when Cleveland got the ball down by 5 and Mahomes is hurt. What did they do? Blow a timeout on a 1st and 10 play just because they didn't have communication to get a playoff. Totally unacceptable. Threw a red flag and lost a timeout there. I mean, they were inexperienced and did not do any of the little things right, and they got away from the running game. Tampa Bay invested in the run, Kevin, even when it didn't work. And what it led to was 70% of the plays run in the passing game by Tampa Bay were play action. They dropped back the first couple of plays in the game, and then they went totally to the play action. Why does the play action work? Because Tom Brady's great. They added extra offensive linemen in the game as a tight end to help block, but they would actually run the ball at the Chiefs. And guess what? The Chiefs are not great at stopping the run. They used to be awful at it. I'm not going there. But they are not great. And if you keep pounding on them, you might actually start running the ball well. And guess what? Tampa Bay started running the ball well, in addition to investing in it, taking time off the clock for Mahomes, and leading to their play-action passing game. It all comes together. If Cleveland would have had that composure, if other teams in the NFL had the composure that Tom Brady and Tampa Bay does, it'd be harder for the Chiefs to win games, Kevin. One of the big things I said going into the game, I played my board game, you know, and out of eight games, it was tied 4-4. And Tampa won by more points per game in the games that they won than the Chiefs did the other way. And I was talking to Danny Klinkscale, and he texted me and said, just give me a quick synopsis from your board game. And by the way, the board game was better at predicting than I was about this. But it's not about the board game, because this game could have been played out many different ways, right? I mean, there's not just one way. But in the board game, the thing I said to Danny was, when the Chiefs did not turn over the football, zero turnovers, they won their four games. That was a common theme. They're the better team if they don't make mistakes. And on the other side, I said, what was interesting about Tampa's four wins is in every one of those games, they ran the ball more than they passed. Either by having the lead or being patient or whatever, I literally wrote him a text on Sunday morning and said, if Tampa can run the ball, not for how many yards, but if they can run the ball more than they pass, they'll have dedicated themselves and attack the Chiefs in a way that will cause the Chiefs problems. And sure enough, it ends up 33 runs, 29 passes, and of those 29 passes, most of them are play action. It's just a great formula if you got a great quarterback and composure and patience to attack the Chiefs' defense. And what does it do to them? It frustrates them. Yep. And the Chiefs are frustrated, could not stop the run. These are all additional stories other than the one that I hear only wanted to be talked about as an initial reaction. Oh, the Chiefs' offensive line could not, you know, it's a ball game without Eric Fisher. Well, they didn't have that offensive line with intact very well against Cleveland or against Buffalo, Kevin. They worked around it. Now, you and I are on the same page, and maybe I sound defensive about going away from the offensive line, but I thought there were so many other factors in the game. And maybe the biggest is the Chiefs weren't patient enough to go out and find a way to win. They could have gone in at half 14-6 and got the football. And I would have loved to have seen it played out that way, because I think they could have stressed the Tampa Bay defense and Patrick Mahomes could have got some things going. And we might be sitting here going, there we go, Chiefs win in the fourth quarter again. Amazing.
All right, last thought, Stan, and the day after your final game or the day after losing the Super Bowl is not the time to make the biggest, broadest statement on something like this, but the big picture question is, do the Chiefs need to change something? Is there, in order to stay on top or near the top, you can't stay the same. What is it the Chiefs need to do this offseason? As they go forward and you look at what they are as a team, where do they need help? Where do they have to improve?
Well, there's not a lot of good answers to that. Obviously, you want to say you want the next wave of offensive linemen to build upon and protect Patrick Mahomes, because he's going to get older and you don't want him to get hurt. You know, taking a lot of hits is your franchise guy. So, you know, it's a good statement to say, you know, the Colts got an offensive line that just really protects their quarterback. As they trend in the next 5 years, Kevin, instead of putting everything on Patrick's movement and running ability and throwing on different platforms, you probably need to start investing in a little more conservative style of saying Tyreek Hill's not going to be super fast for the rest of his life. You're not going to have Travis Kelce dominating forever, but we can still be a great football team by giving Patrick Mahomes a little bit more time in the pocket. That'd be something to trend. But as far as just changing right now, Kevin, there's nothing in particular that needs to be changed. The fact is that it's hard to win Super Bowls. And for us to start getting cocky and acting like the Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl every year is just tremendously naive, number one, and unappreciative. Okay, when you may not be old enough, Kevin, but I remember when the Chiefs came to Kansas City, it was so much fun with Len Dawson's team. Every year, you thought they're probably going to win a division if they did not. You know, the Raiders and the Chiefs, what a great battle! You knew you were going to be in the playoffs. You knew you had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. They went to Super Bowl I, didn't win. They went to Super Bowl IV, they did win. In 71, they were the best AFC team. They got upset. It was so much fun. And they won a Super Bowl to just be along with that team and all the great stars. And there was great appreciation for it. Now it's almost like we don't want to appreciate the fact that they've been to two Super Bowls in a row, that they won six divisions, and they're going to be a part of the race every year. But when Russell Wilson in 13, I referenced that team a lot. Russell Wilson in Seattle won the Super Bowl in 13, and in 14 they were better. They were better and as a football team and more ready to be a champion, and then they lost in the Super Bowl. They've not been back since. Aaron Rodgers has a team that's 13-3 the last 2 years. He's only been to one Super Bowl his whole career. Kevin, we cannot act like just because you have Patrick Mahomes, you're going to go to the Super Bowl every year, and it's just a matter of do you win that last game or we're disappointed. We better take a deep breath and enjoy the next 5 years. And if he even wins one Super Bowl in the next 5 years, it will be incredible historically. So you don't have to win every one of them. Now, it's disappointing to me that when you're this close and you're in the game, you don't win. It's very painful because you may not get back for 5 years. Patrick Mahomes may never get back to a Super Bowl. You've got to respect that stuff happens. The psychology of the players changes. Andy Reid may retire. I don't think Patrick Mahomes will lose his head and get cocky, but other guys might enjoy the money or not have the same edge that they've had in the past. You may not come together perfectly. We need to respect the fact that the Chiefs don't have really anything wrong with them. It's just not our God-given right to be in the Super Bowl every year and be called the best team. Even the Patriots have not won back-to-back since 03 and 04, and they had stinking Brady and Belichick. Yeah. Okay? So I think we need to tamp down our expectations for Patrick Mahomes and act like he's supposed to win every game with magic, and the Chiefs, if they don't win 3, 4, 5 more Super Bowls, it's a disappointment. No, yeah. It should not be a disappointment, Kevin. The next Super Bowl we win, do double backflips, because that's amazing.
I agree with you. However, this morning, William Hill Sportsbook released its odds for the 2022 Super Bowl, and the Chiefs are favored to win it. So there you go. It didn't take long to have the Chiefs be the favorites for next year. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't need to do a lot of changes.
Right.
Okay. You need to win those games in the playoffs. You need to, play a good regular season. That matters. We all know it. And it's a single elimination. It's an unbelievable game, and it is so hard to win. And that's why the headlines ought to be Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is 43 years old, and I don't want to adjust his skill for always good for 43. Kevin, why, when we talk about the top quarterbacks in the NFL, do we not include Tom Brady, 2020 version, as one of the three best in the NFL? I mean, I think he's the third best quarterback in the NFL.
Well, he's the best at winning. We know that. There's no argument.
And he makes the whole team around him better.
He did.
He throws the ball accurately. He reads coverages. I mean, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's definitely not Patrick Mahomes. Okay. But who else? I like Deshaun Watson. Really? Compared to Tom Brady, you like Deshaun Watson? Or Allen? Oh, boy, this kid in Buffalo. Really? Allen is like 10 steps behind Tom Brady every day of the 2020 season.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yep.
And so I just think, we better respect this dude for how great he is.
Well, we'll never see it again. 7 Super Bowls, nobody's going to do that. That's off the board. That'll never, ever, ever happen. So that's off the board. He's the GOAT. It's done. He's the greatest professional athlete in any sport of all time, if you ask me. There's nobody like it. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
The hardest sport to be in. Who wants to be, what does everyone want to be in the world on average in the United States? Starting NFL quarterback for the Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. Pretty good stuff.
That's a competition. Everybody wants it bad. And he's still able to knock people off and find a way to win like this. So, the Chiefs are jacking with the wrong guys. Gronkowski and Brady. And then you try to piss them off and talk trash to them. It's just
bad idea.
The Chiefs will be back. They're the favorite next year. Just hope that Tom Brady's not waiting for them.
Well said. Stan, it's always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much. And sorry it had to end this way, but it's always great getting your insights. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks so much, Kevin. Have a great week.
All right, take care. There is Stan Weber, and he is just the best in the biz at breaking down a game. And you heard his analysis of everything that transpired in this game where there were so many hidden yards, hidden things in favor of Tampa in this game, and they dominate it. Win it 31-9, the inflection point, the turning point in this ball game. Stan agrees. We think a lot alike about football. Right there with 44 seconds to go in the half. Calling that timeout on 3rd and 2 and poking Tom Brady with a stick when they were happy to go to the locker room with a 14-6 lead. The worst thing Andy Reid's done, probably in-game coaching since the Colts playoff game his first year here, right? When they blew the 28-point lead. Really, really rough night for the Chiefs. Could have changed if they came out in the second half and made it a one-score game, or maybe even tied it. Maybe they get the touchdown and the two-point conversion and tie the game right there, and then it's an entirely different ball game. But it was not meant to be. Chiefs had a great season, but not an historically great season. No back-to-back Super Bowls for the Kansas City Chiefs as Tampa wins it 31-9. We're going to have so much more on Kevin Kietzman has issues this week concerning the Chiefs. We obviously have the story of the little girl in the hospital, and I suspect we will be hearing of some charges being brought against assistant coach Britt Reid this week. So that'll be a big developing story. And there'll be some other interviews with players and stuff over the next day or two as the Chiefs kind of wind it down now for the offseason. But keep it here. We'll probably be doing some bonus podcasts and have more content up than normal. But there it is. The bummer of a Super Bowl edition of Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.